Well, praise God. We're tonight again back into the life of Christ. Hallelujah. It's a good life to look at.
Amen.
And there's one thing is studying the ministry of Jesus, because Jesus said himself, he said he never did anything that he didn't see the Father do, and he didn't say anything. So if you want to know God, you really is look at Jesus. While he's in the earth here, you can really learn about what the Father's like. And this is, I mean, the hugely important part of that. Because as we go along, we're going to find out this. That many Christians live and die and really don't know God. They know about him, but they don't know him. And God wants you to know him, you know, and it's, you know, just like Jesus in the earth. And if he was doing what the Father said, you know, he called his disciples friends, you know, and the fact that, you know, somebody that you know close enough is to be a friend, well, you know, we have today the word friend, people call people friends that really ain't friends. That, you know, just because they know somebody, that's a friend, I know it, but they really don't know people. They're really in life, nobody has a bunch of friends. There's few people that you'll have that are really friends, and the other ones you have acquaintances and that stuff. A lot of acquaintances and that stuff, and you know people some, but friends you know a lot about. And when you get to hang around the Holy Spirit, his job is to take what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us, and we can really get to see what God's like, and I mean have a real communion with God, a friendship with God. And especially it just getting a revelation of that really will change your attitude about God's not at a distance as you're trying to get a hold of it. He's getting past that. It's so many people, when they talk about seeking God, it's like they're looking for something that's lost or something that's hidden. And that's not it. If you wanted to ask a friend about something, you know, if you have your phone number, you give them a call or you text them or you do something. You know, send God a text every once in a while or something. But get that idea that it's not somebody who's avoiding you. Man avoids God and then wonders why things aren't hooking up and aren't working. But it isn't because God's, they avoid him. And so we want to build that wonderful relationship, that friendship that we can have with God. Last week, we were looking at the fact we closed in talking about in doing the ministry of Jesus, and we looked at Jesus who said in John 14:12, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." So doing the works of Jesus, and we talked about what the works of Jesus were, is the fact of teaching and preaching and healing was his major ministry. That's what he did. So you're going to find this out as a Christian. Majorly, that's what but people do, you know. Even you might not be called specifically with anointing to teach and preach, but you can share the knowledge you have with people and do that. We're supposed to, you know, one of the things Jesus said we looked at is Jesus told us to go in and make disciples of the nations. We're supposed to go in and preach and make disciples. And he said teaching them. In other words, people need to be taught. Number one, we're not, our job is not to run around and so-called to get people saved. We want to make followers of Jesus Christ, not just people who say a confession. It's not what we're trying to do. And we need to let people know. We ain't going to tell them they're going to have a blessed life if they accept Jesus. No, if you ain't going to follow him, you're just going to have the life that you already had. That's it. And it might even be not that good. So let people know. This is about following. This is changing. This is doing something. This is one of the things that I'm always... People don't ask people if they want to change life. They're trying to get them to pray a prayer. I'm sorry. Do they really want to change life?
Amen.
You know, I had to come to the point where I wanted to change life. I had to arrive at that point. And, you know, everybody wants good stuff, but I found this out. You ain't going to have much good stuff if you don't change.
Amen.
You know, it's one of the things is my life was living the way that I was going. If I hadn't changed the way I thought and the way... we've just been in the same old mess and just going over and over. And so there is requirement of us. Now, we're going to go over tonight. We want to look at something in John 17. You know, we have in the Bible what they call the Lord's Prayer, a prayer Jesus prayed. But this is really Jesus' prayer for the church, for the believers in the church. John 17 is really the Lord's Prayer for us. And we want to look at this because it is different than what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it would be more better to go over here to this one. You see, God's will is concerning you and me. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, prayed this prayer. He prayed it with the disciples. So he did this on that night. Why? Because there's an event going to take place. He's going to die, be raised from the dead, and this prayer goes into effect. This one. And so this has to do with you and me, but we want to see something about him because doing the works of Jesus, John 17, starting at verse 1, I'm going to get down through it, says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So Jesus is saying this, really up to this time here, this is a prayer which, you know, you can learn from this prayer, from this. If you want to, this is a faith prayer. None of this has taken effect yet. He's praying about what's going to happen. He's saying this is going to happen. This is a prayer of faith. Praying about what's going on is not a prayer of faith. Jesus is declaring. You know what? This is part of his success in the garden. He's confessing he's going to get through this thing and he's going to do it. See, you should be confessing your victory before you get into the battle.
Amen.
If you're waiting to get into the battle and then when it's over say, rah, rah, if I won, there's no faith in that. It's declaring the victory before it starts. Say, I know at the end of this is I'm winning.
Amen.
Jesus is declaring his victory. You'll find this is very successful prayer life. Learn to do that. Say, God, I'm in the middle of a tough time, but I want to let you know I'm going to have the victory. You've given me the victory in the Word. You've made me an overcomer. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm facing this, and you're going to help me. I'm so thankful. Instead of this, oh, God, help. Would you please do this for me? We're like we're trying to get God to do something he don't want to do. See, I was thankful because I was taught to pray like this. Because when I started off, God wouldn't let me go to a church where he had me listen to Kenneth Hagin teaching, and I listened to his stuff and listened to things with him about prayer and doing all these things, and I learned, because when I turned around and did go to church, I was shocked the way they prayed. They didn't pray like it was working. They prayed like they're trying to get it to work. They're trying to become children of God when they are.
Amen.
They're trying to become saints, and they're saints. They're trying to become righteous, and they are righteous. We're not trying to become any of that. That's what we are. Hallelujah. So he goes on, and he says this, and this is eternal life. Now, here's what eternal life is. This is eternal life. This is Jesus saying this. So if anybody has a different belief, they're wrong. Jesus says this, this is eternal life, that they may know you, this is the Father he's praying to, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You see what eternal life is? Eternal life, we say, oh, it's living forever. Everybody's going to live forever. Eternal life is knowing God. Amen. And knowing Jesus Christ. That's life. That's what life is. You know what? The more you learn to know God, the more you learn to know Jesus, the more life you got.
Amen.
This is why. You see people, and like Christians, depression and all, they're trying to get through stuff all the time. If you really know God, wow. You can get into the middle of trouble, but you really know Him, you got life.
Amen.
And you know what? You'll talk the life that you have. If you know Him, Mm-hmm. You know, just think about, you know, with each other, you know, friends, whatever it might be, you know, husbands and wives, you know, when somebody you know and you can, somebody you're hooked up to and you can trust, if you go to them for help, you don't expect to get shot down. And, you know, even if they, we're limited as people, even though if we could, we don't expect somebody to throw us under the bus. Well, see, to know God, you know the fact of, you know, He's always faithful. He's always going to do what He says He does. He's always good to His Word.
Amen.
See, this is why when people mess up and they're so slow to go to God to get things cleared up, that's the craziest thing in the world. They don't know Him. You can quote scriptures and not know God.
Amen.
It's one of the things I know if I'm in trouble, that's definitely who you go to.
Amen.
Because, now, you know, He's merciful and kind, even when I'm stupid.
Amen.
And He'll always forgive. He'll always forgive. I mean, just think about that. I mean, He'll always forgive. You know, people talk about an unpardonable sin. And I haven't met but only a couple of Christians in life have even a clue what anything like that is. We talk about a dumb bunch of dumb stuff, but God forgives. People have idea. There's people in heaven, and people say commit an unpardonable sin, and they're in heaven. And some of the people that think they know what it is ain't in heaven. You know, you know, religion has a lot of crazy ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing about God is forgiving. If anybody forgives, man. Sometime I'm going to do some teaching on some of those things there, what the Bible says, and so we can burn all this religion stuff to the ground, get rid of it, and it needs burned to the ground. A lot of religious junk that keeps people in bondage, keeps people from walking in the glory that God has, walking around feeling guilty because of some religious zealot, you know, said something or has an idea about something, but the Bible has liberated me. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, but he said, Jesus goes on. So this is eternal life, is to know the Father, praise God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now listen to this. I've finished the work. Had he finished the work? He's declaring it. I finished the work. I'm doing this thing. This is it. Hey, this is it. I'm declaring. Can you imagine that? See, this is why I can imagine that people read the Bible and see these things. Don't they know when this stuff was said? Jesus had gone in. He said, I've done the work. I've done it. Well, he hadn't physically done it. He's declaring it. I'm doing it. I've done the work. Glory to God. Following God, I've done it. See, you can face a lot of stuff when you've said the right things going into it. Well, I'm trying to do the best I can. Well, I ain't doing the best I can. I'm doing the best God can.
Amen.
You decide. Do the best God can. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you, the best you can, you're heading up to failure. I've done all the best I could. And I was on my way to hell. Hallelujah. So, but God working in us, hallelujah. Now verse 5 says, and now, O Father, listen to what he says, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So he's asking, now, see, in the earth, you need to see this, in the earth, while Jesus was ministering here, he didn't minister in the glory that he was when he came. And he's saying now, okay, Father, look what he's saying. He hasn't died, raised from the dead. When he does, he's going to get the glory back that he had before. But he's saying here, okay, Father, do it. Hallelujah. That's knowing the end from the beginning. See, he's at the beginning declaring the end. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, see, that's what the Lord taught me about going out and running. He said, you focus on the finish line. You don't focus on all that stuff in between there. This is what I learned to do this. I'm going to run such and such amount. That's what I'm going to do. I don't start saying, well, I'm going to go out and try to run. Well, go ahead, wear yourself out. This is what I'm going to do. See, you declare where you're, that's where I'm going. You see, we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. The good work he started in me, he's bringing to completion. I'm going to finish real good. Hallelujah. See, you got to say the right things. See, if he's going to work all this thing out of me, I got to talk like he's going to work his thing out. He's going to do it. Talk like he's going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish this course good. I'm going to do it at a really good stride. Hallelujah. See, talk this. Well, I'm going along, you know. I'm Pilgrim's Progress book out, you know, and I got my pack on, carrying my weight and that stuff. Hallelujah. Well, let's jump down to verse 17. We're going to read through the whole thing, but we want to see this here because now the prayer directly comes to us. It's going to speak to us here. Here's what he says. Sanctify them by the truth. The word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. The word is truth. See, there are people, there's groups that believe in a sanctification, and what they do is they believe that, you know, you come to a place where in your Christian walk where you're sanctified. Well, I'm sorry, sanctification is basically is being set apart by God. That happened when you got born again. And how did you get that? From truth. See, we want to live a sanctified life. What you want to do is you need to understand, it's like righteous. I want to live a righteous life, but that doesn't mean I have to live a righteous life to be righteous. I am righteous. That's why I can live a righteous life. See, if you're trying to live a righteous life to be righteous, you're doing it backwards. What will help you is I'm righteous. If you know who you are, don't be surprised you're going to start to live it. But if you haven't become it, how can you live what you haven't become? See, God says you're righteous. God says you're sanctified. How? By truth. Now, we do have this for a sanctification as a fact. Even though I'm sanctified, I become greater knowledge. The more I understand the truth, the more I can walk in the light of my sanctification. I walk in the light of it more. But I don't get that trying to be sanctified. The truth sanctifies me. Here's one thing, you see, you can never get a person, never get a person to live a sanctified life who won't sit under the Word. We wait, and we're going to find out. We waste our time on too many people who aren't going anywhere, and we're trying to drag them there. And we got to find, God's not in it. We just think we have to get, we, you know, keep trying to force them to go. You can't force people to go. You can't force people to learn. You can't force people. I mean, Sherry could tell you about teaching people. She's a school teacher. You can't force kids to learn. You can't force them. All you do is give them the truth of what they need, and that's it. I mean, you can't take them there unless they want to go. The church is running around chasing people. You will never find Jesus ever did that. Never. Never. Never chased anybody. Didn't do it. See, what happens, people just, you know, we need to get on things. Number one, I turned this a long time ago. I didn't die for anybody. I wasn't raised from the dead for any of your justification. I can't save them at all. I can tell them about a Savior. I can let them know there is one, but I can't save them. And so we introduce them to the Savior, but they have to want to follow Him, and we need to tell them, if you want to succeed, you're going to have to follow. But here he is, and tell them what we need to do. And so when we find out here, so we sanctification, really, the knowledge of sanctification, getting sanctified, you find out the Word and get born again, you are sanctified. But to live in the knowledge, you need to continually be taught. The Word is what brings you into the knowledge of that sanctification, your righteousness, who you are as a child of God, your authority, all those things. You know, you got born again. The same time you got born again, you had authority over every demon and every evil spirit. You just didn't have knowledge of it. You know, I didn't have knowledge of it. I was. What I do is how to gain knowledge of I have the authority. See, Christians walk around and they're saying they're trying to get the authority. You don't get no authority. You have. You got to find out what your authority is, not get the authority. You're not. I didn't get any authority. I just found out what I was given to me.
Amen.
As the Lord said this to me over 30 years ago, why are my people keep asking me for what I already gave them? And I thought, why are you complaining to me about them? They're your kids. I think sometimes God says things to us to let us know on our side how crazy some of this stuff is. See, I'm not trying to become a child of God. I am. That's just born that way. That's the way it is, you know? You know, God can't disown you. You're His. You know? Sometimes I think He made bad choices, but they were His. Hey, He did it. He saved you. Now He's got to put up with you. Just remind Him of that. Every once in a while. You're the one that took me in. I didn't come after you. You came after me. If you didn't know what you were getting, you weren't God. And now He knew exactly what He was getting. Hallelujah. Well, in verse 18, he goes on, he says it, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Now, it's funny because he hasn't done this yet. He's making a confession. They ministered with him and went around in the area of Judea and that stuff, but they hadn't gone to the world. It wasn't until he was raised from the dead when he returned back and talked to him and said, now I'm going to all the world to preach the gospel. So he's making a declaration. See, he's declaring these guys are going to do it. You know what? It'd be good if we did that more with people, declaring they'll do it instead of declaring other things about them. He declared that they would do it. There's some things we can learn here in about these prayers. He's declaring that these guys that are going to turn around, Peter, who's going to denounce him, he says he's going to do it. So I believe that's a lot to run through, why things work. Jesus is declaring that they're going to do it. They're going to go in the world. They're going to do this thing. And so it would be good if we made some good declarations in these areas, said some of the right things. Hallelujah. See, you can learn. This is a good learning prayer that nobody, the church world always goes over to the one that is a prayer made, and really, what we call the Lord's Prayer, that's an Old Testament prayer. That's not a New Testament prayer. Yet the church made it their prayer. This is a New Testament one. This is about us. Hallelujah. Now, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. Who's a candidate on that? Well, I am. I believe. So who's this for? It wasn't just for that. It's for us. He's praying for us. He said, what? That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So he declared, everybody sees him. I'm in the God, just like Jesus is in the Father and the Father's in him. I'm in the Father and in Jesus. Just the same way. Jesus said, they're going to be the same. This is for the Jesus prayed. You think he got his prayer answered? See, I was wondering, I thought maybe he's just throwing it out there, just hoping it would work. Hallelujah. Now listen to what he says. He said this, and then he says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. The glory you gave me. See, when he was in the earth, he walked in a measure of glory as a man. He was walked as a glorial and unfallen man. Do you know we have the glory of an unfallen man? See, Christianity don't really know that. We live like we're still fallen. We think like we're still fallen. You got born again, you ain't fallen anymore. That fallen person's dead. So you got to change the way you think. See, we have the same glory that Jesus said, these people who believe, the words are going to have the same glory. God, give them the same glory. See, before he left, he said, hey, send them the Holy Ghost. We're the temple of God. See, get it in your mind now. When the church is trying to get something that was given already, we have been given this measure of glory. We're not trying to get it. We're not trying to arrive at a place for it. It's already here, this glory. He said, what is this glory? I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And let me just say this to you, because this is important. The world ain't going to know that God sent us till the glory that Jesus had is working through the church. They'll know. And it works through the glory. It don't work just saying words and just doing things. See, we've got to realize the glory we have. See, when Jesus said, my name, you go out here, lay hands on the sick, they'll come, you go out here, you can cast out devils, you can do those things. People are trying to rise to some place to do this stuff. I'm sorry, we have that glory.
Amen.
We have the name of Jesus.
Yes.
It's what we have, we're not trying to get it. We've got to get this in our thinking. See, we want people are praying for a move of God, but not really praying for a biblical move of God. We want God, we want the world reached, and we act like we ain't got nothing. We got to get something so we can do it. There's no consistency from the belief when the Bible says and this thinking. You know, Jesus today does not walk in, he's on a different level of glory because now he's God again. When Jesus left, every believer walks in the same glory that he had in while he was in the earth doing what he did. Except for one greater thing, we can preach his gospel and get people born again. That's the greater works. We're doing something that he didn't do under his. But that comes how? Through the word. That's what it is. The truth makes men free. We preach sanctification through truth. So that's what we do. We're preaching the word. But get the idea that what you have, not what you're trying to get. We're trying to get what we have. See, well, I don't feel anything. Jesus never did say you were going to feel anything. See, we want to walk by, we talk about faith, but really we want to have a feeling, we want to have something done. Faith is believing what the Word said. Do you need any more than the Word said to believe this is true? Well, if you do need something more, it ain't faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith does not come by seeing miracles. Faith does not come by feeling goosebumps or feeling the power of God on you. I've felt the power of God on me numbers of times, but that ain't faith. The greatest things that God has ever done through me, I had no feeling whatsoever. I never had anything. I just acted on the word and the thing came past. I had an actual miracle of a guy with his a metal rod in his back disappeared. I had no any kind of goosebump. He asked me to pray. I didn't know he had a rod in his back. He said he had a back problem. Laid his hand on him, prayed for him. He turned around and ended up going to the doctor and turned around and gave me a call and told me, he said the doctor said the rod disappeared. I said, dear God, surprised me too. And you see, we're waiting. We always have to have a feeling. Then we got a feeling, and then we want to say we're talking about faith, but really, that's not faith. Faith is just acting like it's true and where it's true. And it's learning to do that. I have the same glory as Jesus had when he's in the earth. See, you need to learn to say that. I have it. You know, I can cast out demons. Do you ever walk around and say anything like that? You ain't gonna ever do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can cast out devils.
Amen.
Wow, the Bible said so.
Amen.
Say, well, I've never cast out a devil. What has that got to do with it? You got to stir it around and say it. You don't, if I cast one out, now I can cast out devils. Well, that's really faith. That's faith really big.
Yeah.
No, You walk around, I lay hands on the sick, you know, they'll recover.
Amen.
I tell people, hey, healing faith, you know, God operates through me. Hallelujah. I lay hands on people. If you believe, God will heal you because it'll lay hands on you. Not just he'll do that.
Amen.
I don't heal them, but God will just because it'll do it.
Amen.
But see, you got to say things. You can't walk around waiting for something to happen to say something. That's the American church today. Talk, talk, talk. But they aren't saying the right stuff. They're not talking their future. They're trying to run to their future. I'm sorry, I'm already in it. I'm calling my future. Faith calls what you want into pass. Faith really is looking to the future. God calls things that don't exist as though they do. That's what it says in Romans. God, who calls things that don't exist as though they do. See, don't wait. Well, I never laid hands on you. I never got anybody healed. Will you walk around? Why, you know, you say that. You never did. Well, don't be surprised. It don't ever work for you. You said it. Start to say the things. Like when you look at Jesus' prayer, start saying these things. Speak this thing. Speak about your future. Speak about you growing up. What's your, hallelujah, what you're going to attain to. Many people, Christians, have a vision of their future, but it'll never come to pass because they'll never say it. I don't care if God gives you a vision. That thing ain't coming to pass till you start to confess it. You got to start saying it. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. You see, you have to learn to do that. You've got to learn about speaking your future.
Amen.
Saying it. Don't be surprised you run right into it. And you know what? Christians, God has called Christians and told them different things in their life, and they live and die, and it never comes to pass because they've never said it. They don't talk about it. I'm sorry. And you don't put it the voice. Does anybody get saved and don't put it the voice? Why would we? What has the church got this lunacy that somehow this stuff is going to come to pass and I ain't going to talk about it? Well, people think I'm weird. They know you're weird. Get over yourself. Oh, God. Don't let them ever think you. You know, you're pretty big-headed to think they think you're, you know, wonderful or something. Come on. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. They'd be so excited that somebody would say something. I'm sure, I believe a lot of people would be. You know, I'm going to make it. Somebody's wanting to make it. You know, might as well be me. You know, to say it. Hallelujah. See, we got to be that there. You'll be like, well, boy, things are getting terrible. Not for me.
Amen.
Things aren't going to get terrible. They are. But I'm overcoming. They're already terrible. What are you going to say there? They're going to get terrible. They're already terrible. But I'm going to overcome in the terrible. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
This thing is going to get terrible. I mean, people are so stupid they can't even tell terrible is already visiting. It's already here. My God. See, I'm sorry. Terrible's knocking at the door every day. My God. Hallelujah. But you know what? I'll just knock out whoever comes to the door. It don't matter. Jesus is big. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, just get that in yourself. Talk about your future. Talk about what you're going to be. It doesn't matter what it seems like you are now. You know, when we take a child in, you know, first grade, you know, you stand around and look at everything. They're going to go down the road and educate. Don't you think they're going to go somewhere? Why not start saying some things about them, you know? If they're struggling to get through something, don't just keep talking about the struggle. Don't you? You know, we just talk about the struggle all the time. And you know, boy, it's hard to get through. And blah, blah, blah. No, you're going to make through. Don't you worry about this. This is going to be a thing. You start talking to somebody, it makes them an overcomer. See, it's, when I talk about the fact that you got to be your own best cheerleader, you got to say the right things about you. You have to. Everybody's waiting for a preacher. I'm just somebody, you know, oh man, this person edifies me, and then they say things. Yeah, but who? Do you live with them? But if you don't, how do you get edified the rest of the week? How do you get edified the rest of the time? You're going to have to say stuff. You have to look in the mirror and quit talking about the jerk you were. And maybe it was right then, but it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I'm overcoming. Glory to God.
Amen.
Because God made us that way. You know, Jesus, according to most of the church and understanding of faith, that prayer, most Christians ought to be calling him a liar. Because most Christians will call you a liar if you said such things. He's speaking to the, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do what Dad said. Hallelujah. It's going to work. Glory to God. I'm getting there. And I'm going to tell you, it's a real battle. But the real his success was the fact of the things that he spoke. He wasn't telling the disciples he was going to die on the cross, be raised in 3 days. He wasn't saying all that just for them. He's saying it for him. This is what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. This is what I'm doing. You don't wait till the last minute to have a good confession, because you know what they do? They put you in a box and stick you in the ground. That's what they do. No, wait the last minute. Amen. You start that. You start it in your life. I have been saying it for years. You know, I've been speaking for years. That's why, you know, at my age, I don't feel my age at all. That's why. But I've been talking for years. I didn't start this. You know. Well, boy, I'll tell you, this getting old is hard. Well, it is for all you old people. See, I feel bad for you. You know, well, you get to be this age, you get to be that age. Well, don't I'm serious. You talk that or say those words. Don't believe it. Your spirit's listening. Your spirit is listening. And after a while, your spirit's going to start. And when you say those things, it's going to be your heart saying it. And when it does, it's coming to pass. And you'll come along and everything goes bad. And you're going to try to change it when everything starts falling apart. But you've done had 20 years of saying the wrong thing. And I'm going to tell you what, you won't get that freight train stopped.
Amen.
You've hooked too many cars on that thing. There's too much weight pushing it. This is why. When you can, you start saying the right things. You start speaking the right stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got life and I got it more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. See, I have more than physical strength. Hallelujah. I'm sustained by my inner man. I'll tell you, he's a giant. Glory to God. This guy on the outside ain't nothing compared to what's on the inside.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, get yourself, get inside minded. Hallelujah. You want to get the outside to do something? You get your inside. We're always trying to do the stuff the opposite way. You want to change things about yourself? Do it from the inside out. Get your inner man. Start saying the right things. Don't say things like, well, I'm going to try to lose weight. Well, you won't probably go very far on that. Or I'm going to try to do this. Or I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to try to, you know, get a little bit of education. I'm going to, well, the whole world's trying.
Amen.
Set yourself, number one, quit trying. Stop. Get yourself on the inside till you're ready to stop and say, this is what I'm going to do.
Amen.
I'm going to head in this direction. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to start talking out, and I'll guarantee you this is what will happen. Opposition comes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn to just keep your voice right in the right direction.
That's right.
Don't you change your voice when the words come out, when stuff starts coming different than your words. Can't change it. If you do, the devil will have you every time. Every time you want to go on something, he'll throw something so you'll change your words. Don't be a person, you change your words. Nope, this is what I'm going to do. Don't change your words. I don't care if it looks like you fell flat on your face. It don't say that a rock fell on top of you. Don't change your words.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When I had my heart attack and I was on my hands and knees, I felt like a rock fell on me, I'll tell you. But you know what? I never talked death or defeat. I wouldn't say it.
Amen.
I wouldn't say it. I refused. Even though it was a voice telling me I was going to die. I knew it wasn't God. He wasn't trying to kill me. If he was, he's an idiot.
Amen.
I'm on his side. I'm working for you. Praise God. What would he be doing trying to kill me? Wouldn't make no sense. See, if you don't know him well enough, you'll think words that you hear. You don't know him well enough, and you're religious. You'll jump in and say, well, God spoke to me, and wasn't God at all. See, I learned this. I don't change my words. If I don't know the right thing to say at the time, keep my blab mouth shut. I've learned this. When things are really going bad for me, I watch who I speak to about it.
Amen. Preach.
Very careful who I say things to.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Why? I'm in a battle, man.
Amen.
My words are heading a certain way, and this is what I... You need to find out where the direction the person's going, not the direction you're going. They don't need to know where you're going.
Amen.
You need to know where they're going. They're heading in a direction you might think it's crazy. See, it's like with me, that when I said I was going to go for a run, now, I'm just going to guarantee you, if every one of you saw me, you'd have thought I was crazy. You would have. You'd have thought I was an idiot. Because there are things I wouldn't say to anybody because I know it. You know, you got to know people because you're fighting a battle. You don't need to get the people around you in opposition to you.
That's right.
Amen.
So you have to know how you can deal or how you can handle that. You've got to know. There's things in life sometimes you're going to come into a battle, and I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be alone in it. It's just where you're at the time. That's what it is. And you know what? You can fight those battles. You can do it. Why? Because you have the Lord with you. You have the Lord of hosts. He's called the Lord of the armies. That's what host is. My God, he got an army. I got an unseen heavenly army. See, when Jesus, what did he say when he came to take it? He said, how many legions of angels did he say he could call? You know, what did he say? Was something like 12 legions of angels or something? You know, there's anywhere the Romans had legions. A legion could have been anywhere from 2 to 6,000, depending on how many they had in legions. At different times they had different, you know, legions sometimes. But just say if there was 2,000, I mean, and he's going to call 12 of them. I mean, they get some help. I mean, I'm sure God will at least send me one. I don't think 2,000 angels have been plenty to handle that. But see, one of the things that happened to me, just like we're doing that, one of the greatest things that happened to me because of saying what I said, on the inside, I rose up. It wasn't just me. I knew that. You got on the inside. See, what you need is spiritual power. Everybody's looking for something physical. You need spiritual power. See, my inner man is what sustained me, not my outer man. My outer man was having trouble with death. What sustained me was on the inside. What got me off the ground was what was on the inside of me. It wasn't my body. My body didn't get me off the ground. But I was very cautious about what I said.
Amen.
When the devil told me that I was going to die, I said, this has nothing to do with you. I said, this is between me and my Father. So my discussion is with me and my dad. I ain't got nothing on earth to do with him. So you got to watch how you respond to things. You just got to learn to do that. Because the enemy's going to, he's going to want to show you all the bad things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And because I saw a lot, you know, people talk about how they don't believe in visions. You let something bad happen to you, everybody has a vision. They see bad things. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, this will happen. If this goes on, then I'm going to have this. And I'm gonna... All of a sudden, everybody's a prophet. They had 27 visions. They got. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what, and it can't go by your mind because my mind has all kinds of things going on. My mind does, and I'm thinking, I ain't going there. See, this is why I speak in your future. What do you want? What are you declaring? Learn to do that about yourself. Talk good about yourself. Talk good about your future. Say those right things. You know, don't speak your weaknesses. There's not one of us don't have weaknesses. There ain't one of us. We all got we're frail, but sometimes we're a lot more frail than we think we are. You know, things will happen, but The whole thing of speaking faith, I'm just going to tell you, I found out. This is what, over the years, I've had ministers and everything. Oh, you know, you get too far out there. You go too far. Why? Because you talk faith. Because you won't talk the doubt and unbelief. Everybody else will. You won't do that. So you, something's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't get healed, but they'll criticize you for getting healed. Yeah, see, I'm crazy. I am. I got over into lunacy. I found out this stuff works, and it is contrary to common natural thinking. It is not like it.
Amen.
It doesn't add up naturally. It doesn't. It doesn't make sense that I'm going to have victory by saying this, but this is what's happening to me. So I got to really express that. It's like people do this all the time to people. You see something happens to somebody and they get around and everybody wants to know what the doctor said. I get around spirit, tell me, you know, what the doctor said. As if he's giving good news. You just say, well, just turn on CNN and die. Just like, give me a break. Why do we have to do that? What do we have? You know, if I go to a doctor, I mean, they say things, but I mean, I don't get. I already have my opinion. I done read the book. I already have the direction. I think they do whatever they can, and that's fine. But there's things I'm going to do, you know? Like, don't come along with to me and say, but the doctor said you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. Well, you ought to mind your own business. It's not your job to go tell everybody what they ought to be doing. You ain't God. I'll tell you, every time I have gotten miraculously healed, I went against what the natural thing said you should not do. Every time. And I have hardly ever seen anybody who follows really close what the doctor says gets healed really quick. See, I learn it. I just do it. I just learn. Now, I don't do it because I'm tougher. I just learned this. It works. I just learned. I believe I've got something, so I'm going to act like I got something. I'm not going to act like I don't. Doctor says, you know, it's going to take you 6 weeks to get better. I'll guarantee you, in 2 weeks, I'll be fine. You just hide and watch. He's allowed to say what he wants. He makes a lot of money doing it. I might make some if I say what I want. This is good preaching. But see, we get this from Jesus, what Jesus prayed here. He's speaking his future. What he's going to go through, and you can imagine, none of us have ever faced what he's facing. I don't care any time you thought you were sick or you really had trouble. You don't understand the problem Jesus is going through. Jesus is going to pay the punishment for all the sin of all humanity for all time. Jesus Christ has never known being a broken relationship with his Father. It's never happened. All he's ever known, even as a man in the earth up till the time of he died on that cross, he never had broken fellowship. He was in perfect fellowship with his Father. Nobody here knows that. Nobody here has done that. And he's going to be broken in fellowship. He's going to die a sinner's death. He's going to go to hell and be punished in 3 days for all the punishment of all the sin of all the humanity. My worst day was a nothing compared to what he went through.
Amen.
And he's going to do that. And he did it willingly. And he prayed like this about it. Dear God. I want you to think about this. Because of this, we have the glory that he had. It's time to live in it.
Amen.
Because if you don't live in this glory, you will always have trouble with faith. Because his success was living in this glory. That's his success. It was living in this glory he had. See, this is what it comes down to. We got to change, renew our mind into this thinking of the glory. And I'll tell you what, that glory manifests when people start saying the right things and speaking the right things. See, I learned this about, if you want to see God manifest, he doesn't manifest just because you pray and ask him to. You got to be saying the right things. Jesus, can you imagine this? The beating and things he could, and he didn't declare his innocence or anything. He just took the beating and went, didn't open his mouth. Man, we'd have had 400 lawyers standing in a row and complaining. What we would have done. I mean, you know, anything to get out of this. And it's made, he didn't, this isn't just, he's a man. I understand. He has to do this as a man. This isn't God doing it. It's man. A man is doing this. How's he doing it? He's yielded to the glory that's in him. He has confessed, he has said, and I'll tell you, when it comes time to do it, he can do this thing. I mean, think about it. If you go over and read in Hebrews the 11th chapter, and it goes through about the faith and the people of faith, you know, it finishes up in that chapter about people were sawed asunder, they're sawed in half, pulled apart, all that kind of stuff, for a better resurrection. They had better thinking than we do. We'll fight more for living than we would for dying. See, there's a glory that you can walk in. You can face anything.
Amen.
You can face anything. It isn't. People that faced horrible things, they didn't face them. That did these things, they didn't face them as just a natural man. They walked and lived in a measure and a place, and the glory of God saw them through that stuff. That doesn't mean they didn't suffer at all, but they could do it. It's amazing. I don't want to live well. I want to die good too. I want to die glorifying God.
Amen.
I don't want people bawling and scrawling at my funeral.
Amen.
If they are, they ought to put them out. I'm in heaven. What on earth do you do that for? But anyhow, there's just pain in the neck left. Aren't you happy? But it is. See, getting over, my words. We're going off to get fulfilled what we've been seeking all this time. We want to meet Jesus, but you know, I want to live 5,000 years like this till I get. I know where Paul's coming from when Paul said he had a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. You get around what's going on in the world, and that's why you say, boy, I sure like to leave. Hallelujah. But you know, we're going to leave. Let's leave good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I guarantee when Jesus comes back to the church, it ain't going to be the church we're looking at today. Church world. It's going to be the different people. Changed. Hallelujah. And those changes can only come through God. He's the only one who can make the changes in man that need to be done. The more we can yield to him, the more we'll say what he says. When we look at the vision he's given before us, we're going to go ahead and do that. The Lord spoke to me many years ago. In fact, as a young Christian, he spoke to me about my end, about things I would do at the end. And I remember as a young Christian, I thought that was real. Wow, that was really cool at the time. You know, God said that thing. But you know, as time went on, I got over looking at me. And I'm thinking, how on earth would I end up? How would I do those? How would I do that? What would I do? So you get over looking at you. You get over looking, you know, you're around, your education, you're this, you're that. And what happens? You throw it out. After a while, you're not even thinking about it because, you know, did God, after a while, you start wondering, did God really say that or was that just me? You know, see, I have to arrive at some certain place. And I went on and on with that. While I was at Raymond, we had Raymond Prayer School, and we had they would have prayer school. Sometimes they have different people leading prayer. We were praying about certain things, and one of the things we were praying about that time was the Soviet Union and that stuff at that time we were praying about, but also some other things. And the person was leading the prayer. He was an evangelist, and he stopped and he said, "There's somebody out there, God spoke to you, told you about something," he said, "many years ago," and he said, you've even forgotten about it. You don't even remember it anymore. And you laid this thing aside." He said, "He didn't." And I'm there thinking, I wonder who that is. And all of a sudden I found out who was. I was the guy. I just never forget it. The Lord spoke to me. You see, number thing, when I did, the reason I laid that down and I did is because I wasn't saying it. Because the first thing the Lord said to me was, "You let that go." And didn't say it. He said, "You never even say it. You never even," he said, "you let that thing go." He said, "I told you that. Don't you forget it and don't you quit saying it." See, I see people all the time do this. They have encounters with God, but over time, following their life and following after all their weaknesses and stuff and paying all attention to their whatever, they lay things aside. They lose saying what God is trying to hit them toward. And in doing that, that's how they get over more in the flesh, because now they don't have a vision. They don't have those words out in front of them. They don't have those words that God can bring things to pass to get you in that direction. The Lord said to me, "Don't you ever forget that. I told you that. You make sure you say that." And I said, "Yes, sir. I repent." I said, "Yeah, you're right." I said, "I let that thing go. I just did." Amen. Because I quit saying it. Well, see, it'll never come to pass unless I say it. See, it's faith. It's anything in the Word of God. You don't get to come pass if you ain't saying it. What is the church? I don't know. We get this idea of faith is something we're trying to drum up. I'm sorry. It ain't something drummed up. It's a life. This is how we live. The just shall live by faith. The just don't have faith every once in a while.
Amen. Preach.
It's our life. It's what we're saying. What we're speaking. Jesus said, "I don't say anything I didn't hear the Father say." If we're walking along speaking the Word, and we're saying what the Word says, hallelujah. I mean, look what the Word said. Go over, like, start off reading the book of Ephesians, what it says you are in Christ.
Amen.
How often do you say those things about yourself?
Amen.
No, every dumb, ugly thing you do, you'll go to bed at night thinking about all the stupid things you did during the day. "Well, I did this dumb thing today." No, I'm going to do a smart thing. I'm going to make a confession about who I really am. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll get over dumb real quick. You say the right things, I'm going to say, you won't be walking around for a month or two letting that thing, dead thing, drag on you of where you missed it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if God forgives you if you can't get over it.
Amen.
Because the devil has you. And you get over it by your mouth, what you say about it. Said, "I'm sorry, God's forgiven me. This is done. I shall not remember this no more. I'm like my daddy. I got a good memory loss." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know? We forget anything good, but we can always remember the bad things.
Amen.
No, we're going to forget that. But you know, it's like I learned from Kenneth Hagin. You got to learn to forgive you.
Amen.
And you got to throw it out. Because that is a place that the devil will just hold you in that spot. And will use that. Because what happens to it? You'll get that in your thoughts and you'll say it. You'll murmur it to yourself. Maybe you won't say it to anybody else, but you'll murmur it to yourself. Say, "No, devil, you ain't got me on this one." Say, "You're right, I didn't do stupid." Yep, but that's forgiven. Glory to God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God said I'm righteous. What do you have to say about the devil? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I voted and God voted. That's all we need.
Amen.
Always win. Heaven voted. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's end there. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Lord, you are so good to your people. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, raising us up in the inside, making giants out of us. Hallelujah. Lord, not because of our greatness. It's your greatness working in us. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, God, for your great words. Lord, you have so many wonderful things that you have said about what the church is and who we are and what we are. And Lord God, Lord, we're going to declare those things. Hallelujah. Because Lord God, when we declare them, we're declaring your goodness, your kindness, your mercies. Hallelujah. How wonderful you are. And your plan for our future. You're amazing. Hallelujah. And Lord God, if anything we want to do, we want to be like our Master Jesus. We want to bring your will to pass in the earth. Father, I just want to thank you. I'm just so thankful that you have just, you've taken us into your family, but you've given us a part in your ministry. You've given us a place to stand in. How kind you are, Lord. It would have been nice to be in the family, but you hired us into the business. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you, Father God, for doing that for us. Lord God, trusting us with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Giving it to us generously. And Father, I pray that these revelations and these things we've been speaking about them, Father, grip the hearts tonight. Hallelujah. They become, Lord God, things that are so pronounced in them. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. There's shackles falling off in the name of Jesus. There's wonderful thoughts went in minds tonight about areas of their life that can be changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, there's great breakthrough coming. Hallelujah. Lord God, reaching into a higher level of that glory in its manifestation. And so we thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things you're going to bring to pass and do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.